could say you.
You are listening to KAYT FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Thanks to the issues of today. We got a lot of issues going on, but, you know, praise God, God has an answer for the issues. And all we got to do is look in the Word of God, and we'll find it right then and there. It's there somewhere because God is the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And we can find out the truth all about the issues of today and how we can relate it to one another and in the Word of God. We can make things work. All we got to do is look it up in the Word of God. But I do thank all of you, all the listeners, all my followers that have been following with me for 17 years, man. What an awesome thing, an awesome time. You know, just to spend time in the Word of God. Every time that Word comes forward, man, bam, it does something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It just changes lives. Hallelujah. Even over the program, a live program. Man, it is just this awesome thing, awesome work. And it's doing that. It's been doing it for all the years that, and many, many more years beyond that. We know the Word of God works always. Never changes. Glory to God. I thank everybody out there for tuning in. And you can be part of it by calling in the number. And we'll give you the number throughout the program. I have my good friend of mine, Reverend Tona Machina. Fashina, I get the last word. I'm always calling him Tony, but it is Fashina.
No, call me anything. They don't come in too late for supper, and don't come in too late for the rapture.
I got you. Brother Tony, yeah, he's been with us for many, many years. I've been knowing him, and he's been well-rounded in the Word of God. There's no doubt about it. He is a Seventh-day Adventist.
That's right.
Okay. And praise God for him. I mean, you know, hey, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And no problem. I like Baptists. I like Seventh-day Adventists. I like Pentecostals, Catholics. I love them all. Praise God. It's all about Jesus anyway. It is a relationship with God. And that's what really matters, right? Isn't that right, Brother Tony?
That's correct.
It's all about God, Jesus.
God anyway. Is not coming for a name.
Yeah, that's right.
He's coming for a chalk without spots or wrinkles.
There you go. Praise God. Yeah. It doesn't matter about our doctrines. You know, the important thing is really, you know, having that personal relationship with Jesus. And bam, we change.
Amen.
Never been the same again, Brother Tony.
That's
you
right.
That. Man. I know you. You've been following me, you know, pretty much on the radio for many years. And I've had you on the radio before. Many years back, you remember
I
that?
Appreciate that. That was true.
Man,
that
yeah.
was last year, matter of fact.
Yeah, last year. And then not only that, you've come to a lot of my meetings before in the past. And,
that is correct, in Pineville.
You remember that in Pineville? Man, what an awesome thing. I mean, we just go far back, and I thank God for Brother Tony being there and supporting the ministry in every which way. And he's been a big blessing, and I thank God for him. And you know, God sends people in your path, you know,
amen.
You know, to support one another. And you know, you're just awesome. I just thank God for you for being a part of that. And here today, we're you know, we're talking about issues. We've got all kind of issues, Brother Tony. Oh, I don't want to forget about Smiley here. We're not going to forget about Smiley. Smiley Greg Phillips is really, I don't know if his real name is Greg. I'll tell you the truth, you might be K.A., you know, them K.A.A. Greg Phillips. I don't know, you know. Yeah, are you really Greg Phillips? I don't know. I just call him Smiley.
We came from way back.
You know me. Yeah, you know him from way back,
way
too.
Back.
I could be a bad thing, too, though. Yeah. You know? Are you saying, yeah, man? Come on, man. Are you telling me, yeah, it could be bad?
Well, no, he always good.
He's always good?
Always good.
How much you paid him for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brother Smiley, we thank Brother Smiley for being the coordinator here of the show, and I thank God he always working out that board for us. But we get him to every now and then interject something, you know.
That's correct.
You know, I gotta get him to move there. We gotta get him to interject something, you know. Praise God. Oh, and the Word of God, you know, we're talking about the law. The law. Why did Jesus say, I didn't come to take the law away. He says, I came to fulfill it. You know, what did he mean by that? Because there was all kind of laws, you know. If we look back in the, you know, five books of Moses, you know, the Pentateuch and Deuteronomy and so forth. And it has all kinds of laws that were dealing with people. And, you know, we're wondering, did God change those laws or what? Or did they still have some meaning? Because he said, man, I didn't come to take it away. I came to fulfill it. What is he talking about that? We still got, or do we still follow the Ten Commandments? Should we still follow the Ten Commandments, Brother Tony? What should we do here? Should we just go out and say, I could commit adultery, and God said it's all right? Huh?
I will tell you like this, Rebecca Mooch.
Oh.
Like I said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that God's Ten Commandments is supposed to abide forever. But before I talk about it, Lord, I appreciate Brother Greg Phillips. Because I haven't seen him since 1902. It's been a long time since I saw him, and I'm glad he's now with this station, and he's still hanging there.
Oh, yeah. Does he still look the same? Look the same?
Look younger.
Younger, man.
Younger.
Oh, that's something wrong with that.
Brother Greg Phillips.
I think it was back in the days when he was getting started.
Way back then.
5:30 a.m., you know?
Yeah.
That was a long time
ago.
Oh.
Long time.
But I tell you.
I think we got a call. I don't know if it's for us.
Somebody call.
Let's see what happens. Yeah, I don't know if it's for us or not. We got a caller?
Yes.
Okay, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Leesville, Louisiana.
Leesville. Okay, brother. Well, go Leesville. Praise God for Leesville. Praise God. Amen. What you got, brother, about the law?
Say again?
I said, what you got for us about the law?
Okay, you was talking about women preachers.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've heard this over and over again on the radio. And I have looked at the qualifications that were set down for a bishop and deacons. Now, bishop qualifications, same as a pastor.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't seen anywhere yet where God added an S to the word he. And I think that's, like the old folks used to say, God said it, that settled it.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
so
just,
there is no problem with women teaching in the church.
Right.
But not in the pulpit.
Not in the pulpit, man. Ooh, wow. You
not
heard that,
in
huh?
the pulpit.
Man.
Even in the Old Testament.
That's the law, right?
The holy place was what? Who was it for?
Mm-hmm.
The priest.
That's correct. Were there any women priests?
I was always taught, my father was a preacher.
Uh-huh.
And I was always taught, until someone can back it up with scripture, then you stand on what you believe.
Uh-huh. So you don't, you personally don't believe that a woman should be teaching behind a pulpit, you might say. That,
no.
But it's okay to teach away from the pulpit.
they can stand down front in a missionary position or whatever and teach.
Uh-huh. Man.
But not from the pulpit.
Not from the pulpit. Y'all heard it, folks. You're hearing. I wonder if anybody else feels
it. That place was set aside for the man.
The man
of God.
The man of God. Yeah, not the
That's
woman.
Right.
Okay, so you're looking at the gender here. Yeah, we're talking about gender, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Right. And there is a, you know, we're gonna, I'm gonna ask Brother Tona and
so, even Jesus himself called 12 men.
Uh-huh. Woo. What about
Show me
that?
Where he called a female as one of his 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, most people talk about how of course about
Well,
Mary Magdalene, you know, and
not cutting y'all.
Go ahead.
I haven't seen anything where he called a female to preach the gospel.
In position, right? Yeah. Okay.
In position.
Right. You know, most of them relate to, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, about going
right.
out and telling people, you know, hey, some even refer to as the evangelist, the first evangelist woman, if you might say, going back to the disciples and telling them about Jesus being risen, you know?
Yeah.
What do you got to say about that, you know?
Well, anybody can deliver God's word. Don't get me wrong. We all have a voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we as a society have put too much into the church.
Right.
That is not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, until you can back it up with scripture, I have to stand on what I believe.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And that's the word of God.
That's the word of God. Well, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear what the word says, you know. And
okay. Well, that's my take.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. Are you a pastor or are you a pastor?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
That's okay. I'm just curious. Okay. All right, brother. We appreciate that a whole lot.
And you all take care and have a good day.
Okay, you too. We like that. Okay, man. All right, brother. Tony, what you got to say? Maybe somebody else has something say out there.
I've been to Lisbon before, and this guy used to be my bishop, but he died, Bishop Mulberry, and he died, and his wife took over the church.
Uh-huh.
You know, but as far as I'm concerned, women preaching, men preaching, I'm just worried about souls getting saved and getting to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever method God wants to use to bring a soul to the kingdom is fine with me. All I want to do is to go to the kingdom of the devil and still take everybody that the devil held in captive and bring them back to me.
Yeah, and I see how you're feeling. You know that you're not concerned of whether or not if it's a woman or man.
I have
but you know we're looking at, but we're looking at really what the law is in the Word of God.
All I know is that the Bible said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So our name is Ye. When he say Ye, he talk about both men and women.
He talk about
and when he say,
man and woman.
He say, "Lo, I be with you." He didn't say, "Man, woman, I be with you."
You know,
so, delivering the word of God, anybody can tell somebody about Jesus. Now, as far back as pulpit wise, I never even see no pulpit in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They got churches with no pulpit. They got churches with no pulpit. I never saw a pulpit. People can sit down on the pulpit, dignified and sanctified and petrified. And see boss hair wide open from the pulpit. So, pulpit don't take nobody to heaven or hell. What God wants, go tell your brothers and sisters that Jesus is the healer, Jesus said you're deliver, and that's what I do. Pulpit or no pulpit, I'm not looking for nobody's pulpit. My job to go to the highways and byways and preach that gospel.
Preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're looking at that. But then again, you know, we have to look at, you know, being an authority. We have to look at, you know, who is taking care of the church, per se. You know, we know who's taking care overall the church, quote and unquote on that, which is, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, overall, that is. But, you know, what about the churches that are set up and the physical churches that I'm talking about, which there should, you know, there has to be an authority figure there. There's no doubt about it. And we call the pastor, okay? We call him a pastor. So we're not going to talk about pulpit, you know, but we're talking about pastor and position. I believe this is what our brother was talking about. I think he leaned more towards being in that position of authority and pastoring a church.
I can bring that bishop down too.
Okay.
You see, when God said a bishop should be the husband of one wife. Now, according to the way I look at it, because you see, these days, I always tell you, when I was a baby in the Lord, before I started really preaching, when I saw how Delilah got Samson in trouble. When she cut his hair, she became Samson's barber and told his business, and they wound up killing Samson. I always think that when God made man, he took a rib out of man and made a woman.
Made a woman.
But the way I look at it, I think when God took that rib out, he made a loudspeaker.
That he did. But, you know, and I know you got a lot of women out there. You, man, you might crucify. Don't
but when I'm
that,
talking
but,
about the woman, Reverend Kamut, I'm talking about when you get unequally yoked.
Pretty loud.
Believer.
Right.
Then you think you married a woman, but you married a loudspeaker. Because she will send you straight to hell.
Yeah.
You know, Delilah got Adam, the ladder got Samson in trouble, and Eve got Adam in trouble.
Right. So you're saying a lot of women can get men in trouble.
You talk with a believer.
You just got yourself into trouble, too, you know? You know that? Yeah. You know what he's saying to folks out there? But, you know, we're asking you out there. Call us up right now. That's 1-877-464-2500. We're talking about really how the law is and set up in the Word of God. And, you know, one of those things is, you know, that it's not a woman should not even be allowed to speak in the church, man, let alone teach in the church. You know, so what are we saying here about the woman's position or the law that is placed
matter
there?
Of fact, the church is inside you. Uh-huh. The church is not a building. God doesn't live in a house made with hands. The church is inside your heart. You know what I mean?
So maybe, what do you think? You know, maybe there are a lot of churches that maybe falling apart, maybe because there's some women pastors out there and, you know, they're just not, you know, following what God should be or should, or maybe just, you know, they're well-educated in the Word of God. They can do, you know, a woman can do anything a man can do. We know that, okay? We understand that. But that's not the point. You know, the point is should they do anything a man can do? You said that's the difference between should and can, okay? And that's what we look at because, you know, we look at what the Word of God is, and he sets these things up, you know, like the law. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, we know that's a law and a principle. Why was that put that? Because the same way he put that law about the woman, because why? To protect the church, protect the people, you know. And this is why he said, man, you know, Moses said, you know, they said Moses gave a law for divorcement. And there's Jesus, you know. Well, it wasn't like that in the beginning. He says, you shouldn't, God wanted us all as one, okay? You know, that was the law, if you want to call it that. That was the way God had instituted things, and he wanted us just as one. But, you know, we as hard heads and we who are stiff-necked, if you want to call it, that's what the Bible calls us, stubborn, all right, and we want it our way. And so finally God kind of leans and says, okay, you know, you can give them a divorcement, you know. But it, all in all, like you were talking about, they are become one, you know. And why? It was to protect. It protects you to keep you as one. Because when you're not one anymore, then everything falls apart. Your family falls apart, bam. You know, what does it call? Chaos, all kinds of things in the family. We know that. And the same thing with the woman, because, you know, as I see it, you know, again, do you think a woman was made differently from a man? I mean, how do you see a man and a woman
When God made man and woman, God put a woman as a helpmate to the man. They are supposed to be walking side by side.
Right. So helpmate, right?
They are supposed to help her. They are, yeah, as a helper. Okay. And the man's supposed to help the woman too. Uh-huh. So,
but I didn't see that in the Word.
They are supposed to be walking together. Uh-huh. Because God said it is not good for Adam
to be alone.
To be alone by himself.
Right.
So he made him an helpmate. You know, long time ago, I can imagine Adam asking God, God, are you going to give me a woman? And God said, yes. He said, what kind of woman will you give me? He said, a woman that will get give you everything you tell her to do. He said, well, what can I get for a rib?
All right.
And God said, no comment. You know? Well, you see what he got for you?
I don't know. Tony's trying to be funny here, man.
We all got evicted out of the garden.
I don't want to give his address out, you know, because we don't want nothing to happen to him, okay? Right, Smiley?
The Lord is my shepherd.
He's already quoting scripture because he's
being, man. We fear no evil.
He's already worried about dying here.
You know, only people. They come for me one way, they find 7 weeks.
Hey, brother, the only people that quote the Lord is my shepherd is when they're dying, you know.
Man,
you better be careful. But he is alive, though, no doubt about it. But again, we're looking at the law and how God set up the law and how, you know, why did he do that? You know, why did God say, you know, he instituted the law about, you know, he says now this is what he says. Okay, when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, it was written and it was said that, you know, hate your enemy. And he said, but I come and tell you, love your enemy. So, you know, what happened to the law there? You know, was it actually changed or was it always really to love your enemy? You know, what happened? You know, we see hate and love now, and that's been then changed here. So, you know, why did God say, you know, hey, the law really hasn't changed? But now I say love your enemy, okay? But it was said that you should hate your enemy. Does it go back to maybe the same type of when people were stubborn and they needed divorce papers, you know? Did it have a lot to do with that, you know? Because people was just so stubborn and, you know, and God was saying, okay, you know, hate your enemy. But now he says, love your enemy. And then we see how he said, oh, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, back in the day of the law, okay? So, but there are consequences to hating your enemy, right?
That's right.
There are consequences to hating him. And what are those consequences, you know? What happens there? What are the consequences? What he's trying to say is to follow the law of God that Jesus came in. And again, we see how he changes the divorce. He didn't move it out of place. He said because you were stubborn. You were so stubborn and you wanted it your way. That's why Moses wrote the divorce. Who wrote it? Moses did. And God allowed it, right?
That's right.
So did that really change the law? Or, you know, what is it saying here? We don't want to confuse anybody about, you know, by keeping the law. Because the law, can we still keep the law as a principle and a protection, of, you know, in our lives? Because remember, the Ten Commandments is part of that law. So should we not do the Ten Commandments or should we continue to follow the Ten Commandments? You know, these are big questions we're asking people out there as well. Folks, call the number 1-877-464-2500. You as a Christian, are you still following the law of the commandments? That's part of the law as we see. Or what? You know, should you, shouldn't you? You know, what is happening here? You know, how do we see the law now? How do we see Jesus now saying that, hey, I come to fulfill the law? What are we saying here? I might have called that number. I'm going to go ahead and give Brother Tona a shot at this.
Okay. I tell you something right now. I still believe we should still keep the whole Ten Commandments. Because if we break any of those Ten Commandments, I promise you there will still be trouble.
Right.
See, if I go to Walmart now and stole a TV, and the police pull me over and say, did you just stole that TV? Show me your receipt. I say, well, we are not under the law no more.
Right.
We're under grace. Well, I'm on my way to jail.
Right.
See, and God said thou shalt not steal. Mm-hmm. Now, God said thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you something. If you are a woman and you selling your body to whosoever we buy, and you are a man and you jumping from bed to bed,
mm-hmm.
the police won't put you in jail for that. But you know what? God will supervise that case.
Right.
God will be your supervisor because he can give you HIV. AIDS, free of charge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because
that's some repercussions.
Those are part of the last day diseases that God said the angels will pour down in the book of Revelation. Mm. So the laws that God gave us is for our benefit. And when Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, he said, think not. That means don't even get in your mind that I came to change the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill it. What Jesus is trying to tell us is that he broke the law into two parts. The first part is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Now, if you love God, you will go to church and worship him.
Mm-hmm.
If you love God, you will not worship any idol. If you love God, you will not be smoking and drinking, smoking and joking.
Mm-hmm.
You will love God with all your heart. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments.
Now, the second law that he broke down, and that's the first four commandments about loving God.
Uh-huh.
And the last six commandments say, love your neighbor. Mm. Now, if you love your neighbor, you will not steal his wife.
Right.
If you love your neighbor, you will not steal his car. If you love your neighbor, you will not tell a lie on your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you will not kill your neighbor. So, Jesus knows what he's doing. He's trying to make the law very easy for the people to swallow. Now, there is a law that has been done away with in the Bible that we don't have to keep no more. And I believe when Jesus died, that law was nailed to the cross. And that's the ceremonial law.
Mm-hmm.
That is why Paul told us in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, from verse 16 downward, he said, let no man judge you in meat or drink or of the Sabbath day.
Right.
He talked about the ceremonial Sabbath, where When you commit a sin, they have to kill a goat, they have to kill a cow, they have to sacrifice. The law of sacrifice is gone because Jesus came to die for our sins. He is our sacrificial lamb, and he died one time. And there's no more sacrifice besides Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's my answer to that.
All right. You know, folks, you are out there. We hope that you give us a call, 1-877-464-2500. We want to hear from you out there. Please give us a call. We're talking about the law and Jesus, you know, versus Jesus. Or, you know, we're looking at what are the differences? Or are there any differences? So this is what we're looking at, folks. We want you to give us a call, 1-877-464-2500. We look at the law, you know, and that's part of the law, whether a woman should preach or not. That's another part of it. We look at sacrificing animals or not. Or what sacrifice? Sacrificing animals, were a repentance, a type of repentance unto God. God even says in his word now, he didn't take that law of sacrifice. You see, the key word is sacrifice, all right? Not what's being sacrificed, but the key word is sacrifice. Is that correct, Brother Tom? The key word is that. And the Bible says, give us a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
So those are sacrifices that we bring to God. He didn't say stop bringing sacrifices, okay? So, again, a lot of people who did give up animals, that they give up something of great value, yeah. You know, that belonged to them. It cost them money, a lot of these people, or it cost them something, you know, take care of these animals, you know. That was a big sacrifice to them, you know, and this is what we look at. What sacrifice are you giving to God, you know, as far as a repentance of sin? You know, what are you repenting? That's part of sacrifice. Praise and worship is part of sacrifice.
Now,
you know, this is how we look at it.
Can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
As you are looking at me, I can tell you now, even though I'm a Seventh-day Adventist minister, and I believe that we should still keep the Ten Commandments. But I can tell you for a fact, the law cannot save anybody.
Right.
Law cannot save anybody. The law will just send you to hell.
Right.
If you think that you will go to heaven just by keeping the law, no, sir. You're on your way to hell, including me.
Right.
Being a Sabbath keeper. Now, I tell you something right now. See, the law is like a mirror that you can use to look at your face. Now, if you are going outside for a job interview and you look at your face, and when you look at your face looks like smoke and you look like a monster. Now, the mirror cannot fix your face for you. The mirror cannot fix your face for you. But the mirror can tell you that you need to do something with your face. And that way you have to go and take care of yourself. The same thing with the law. The law will show you. The Bible says where there is no law, there is no sin. If God didn't give you no law, you can get away with anything you want to do.
That's right.
Now, the law will point your sin to you. But the law cannot remove your sin. Here comes a call.
Right.
Somebody
call. Amen. We got a caller coming in. And all right, caller, you on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
This is Niecy.
Okay, Miss Niecy, how you doing? Okay. Minister Niecy's out there.
I'm doing good. I'm just listening to the conversation going on right now. And I want to let you know that whether people accept us as women of God or prophets or preachers or teachers, it doesn't matter because I'm just not a person of the titles. But I am about God's business. And the thing about being called and doing the will of God, like my brother quoted the scripture at the end of Matthew, the last verse of Matthew, where he said, "Go ye out to all the teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." If we are not commissioned to do our work for God, well, guess what? None of us need to be in the pulpit. So there is some people sitting in the pulpit have not won a soul for God yet and have not lived according to the will of God. So, yes, we need to follow the commandments because commandments is our right track. But there are some things that we see going on in society today that's not godly. And we need to know that sound doctrine is what's going to take us to the kingdom of God. I'm not concerned about being in somebody's pulpit, but I am concerned about the souls of God's people.
Amen. I agree to that,
And if you would read the Bible, if you find in Luke the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3, you'll find out where Jesus himself, and it says, I can read it to you, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and did his preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 was with him. That was his disciples. Now, and certain women which have been healed of all of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of her was with 7 devils.
Right.
And Joanna and Susanna and many of other women that was called, and Jesus himself ordained them to be evangelists and all those different things that was not done by the disciples, the women did it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we ought to not worry about who God called and be concerned about the souls that are lost.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
That's what's important.
That's important. Salvation is very, very important, you know, what we see.
And that ministers that's sitting in the pulpit are not preaching repentance and denying the flesh and being raised in the spirit of God, guess what? Don't talk about your pulpit, because that's what it's your pulpit. It's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything of God, you're going to be doing it in a godly manner.
Amen. I agree to that, yeah. Minister. I agree to that.
Jesus himself, he appointed women to do things. But I'm not going to tell you I'm going to make an argument over the pulpit, because I don't. I speak of God everywhere I go. And that's not, it don't have to be that pulpit, but I know one thing. People hear about Christ through me and through other people that have that same token of winning souls. It's all that's important. The Bible
Amen.
Tells us he who wins souls are wise.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what's important.
Amen. I agree. As for, you know, I know that ministering and evangelizing is what we, you know, that's the main point that, you know, that we're placed here. We got our mission. We should be saving souls.
Right.
And that's very, very important. You know, again, we're looking at
the
importance of it.
God called us. Well, what is our testimony? How we got where we are at, following of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If we are followers of Christ, there is something happened in our life that caused us to turn our life around from where we was headed or what we was doing to do where we are at now.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't do that just by saying, oh, I'm a Christian. That's some work to be done.
That's right, yeah.
And we are constantly working on our soul salvation every day. The Bible says with fear and trembling we are working. So guess what? Ain't none of us can't point no finger at nobody, but we need to know how to address each other.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I agree. Praise God. Praise God. All right, that's one for the woman. All right. There you go. Two for the women. All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Nisi. All right, we got somebody calling in again. All right. We got a caller. All right, give me your first name. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Leesville, Louisiana. My name is Pastor Annie Mulberry.
All right, Pastor Annie Mulberry. All right, okay. What do you got to say?
Bless you, Zion. Mother Mulberry.
What do you got to say about all of this?
I've got very little to say.
Very little?
The Lord said it. The Lord said it when he called and ordained me to be pastor.
Uh-huh.
So I've got very little to say. Now, I didn't hear the conversation, but I did get a phone call that my name was personally called.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to make sure I just call, because 88.1 is my number one station.
Amen.
And I know we've got a lot of talk going on with women pastors and whatever.
Correct.
But
correct.
I can promise you, I don't know a female pastor that acts for this.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
truly, I'm one that did not ask for this,
uh-huh.
but God dropped this in my hands. And the male, my brother, whoever it was that has an issue, he can personally give him my call, my phone number, because he said he wanted to go over the scriptures and whatever. Give him my number, and he can personally call me, and I would love to go through the word with him.
Oh, yeah, we got Brother Toner right here.
Yeah.
He's right
Brother Mulberry, the boy that called from Leesville and said he don't believe in women preachers. And
that's right. That's,
and I
that's
told I told the brother, I said, I was a part of your church. And I think I still consider you as my leader, because Bishop Mulberry, he's a Sabbath keeper just like me. And I said, I adopted him as my bishop. And when he died, you were over the church, because God can use anybody to do his job. Yes. You know, God can use anybody. Yes. And the job is not in the church. The job is everywhere, highways and byways. So I just told them that the brother needs some more teachings, because the brother is kind of confused.
And I think, he is
confused.
God, because they did tell me that you stood up for the female pastors. And I appreciate that. And I thank God, because there's a whole lot more of you just like you. See? But with the young man from Leesville that called, give him my number personally, and please have him give me a call.
What do you say about your position, and how did you know the calling was there? You know, how did you know? You just God just spoke to your heart, or audibly, or small still voice, or you had confirmations, or an angel visited you. You know, what's the deal here? How did you know for sure that you were called to be in that position as a pastor?
I was walking in that calling from my youth up.
She's anointed.
See? I was anointed and walking in that calling from my youth up. I never saw the position of becoming a pastor, but I was my husband's right arm. I was my husband's.
That's my bishop, our husband.
Give me just a second, sir. Let me call you right back.
All right, okay. Folks, I want you to call up 1-877-464-2500. We're talking about the law of God, and he laid it down word for word. So we got to understand that's very important. We got to follow the word. What does it say about it? You know, I mean, some people look at it different perspectives, you know. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Was saying, Mother Mulberry is a Sabbath keeper. I'm a Sabbath keeper.
All right.
We believe in
keeping
the
Sabbath.
The Ten Commandments. If you are the 7 day Sabbath. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time, the law and the Sabbath cannot save anybody.
Well, let me ask you.
The law is just a mirror. Uh-huh. The law is just a mirror that points you, that lets you know when you are wrong, but the law cannot fix your problem. Only Jesus can save.
I got you got, and then I agree with that. Okay. But we're looking at the Sabbath. You're saying that you keep the Sabbath day. Now, first of all, what do you claim as the Sabbath day? That's first question.
Okay.
What do you claim? What do you say? What is the Sabbath day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
like
Sunday?
What does that say? Sabbath cannot save you, but I'm telling you right now, I'm telling the whole world, Africa, everywhere, because we're on Facebook and everywhere now.
Right.
Saturday is the Sabbath day, not Sunday.
Okay, Saturday, right?
Saturday
okay.
is the Sabbath
that was
day.
The Jewish Sabbath day.
And the reason is this.
All right.
The Bible says God made the world in 6 days.
Uh-huh.
He started his work on Sunday. When you look at your calendar, Sunday is the first day of the week.
All right, so when you, I'm gonna cut you out.
Mother Mulberry can tell me about lying.
When you talk about Sabbath day, because we're going right to the law, okay?
Okay.
You know, the law said about not working, not carrying your bed, not carrying a stick, even. All right.
That's part of the Mosaic law.
Okay, that's the Mosaic law, right?
Now,
all right. So what's the difference now? You know,
the Bible.
Why
Jesus
is it
said
different?
In the New Testament.
Uh huh.
When Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
They want to lock him up in Angola.
Right, yeah.
They said he healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus
he wanted
said,
to lock him up.
Is it lawful to do evil on the Sabbath or to do good on the Sabbath?
Right.
Now, I'm telling you like this.
So you
the
get.
Bible, we should do something, anything that we glorify God should be done on the Sabbath.
Right. I agree with that.
That's the way I look at it.
Well, and I'm not downing it. What I'm saying is what we're looking at is, are you really following? Is that the law? You know, we're following the law. We're following, spiritually speaking, you know, as you said, on the other hand, we look at it spiritually. You know, we can choose any day, but what God intended, you know, the Sabbath day was really the intention of spending time with God. You
That's
remember?
Right.
When
but,
God.
But we cannot choose any day.
Why not any day?
Okay.
Tell me, you got to explain that to people
this.
Out there.
The reason is
hear that smiley. I want you to get that recorded,
the reason,
smiley.
The reason is, let me tell you something. And like I said, keeping the Sabbath don't take us to heaven.
Right.
But we can't choose any day. Let me tell you why.
Let's get that call. Okay. We're going to come back on that.
Yeah.
All right, we got a caller. What's your first name? Where you calling from?
Cheryl. I'm calling from Manchester, Mississippi.
All right, Miss Cheryl, then tell us about what are you calling about? The issue of the women or the Sabbath? The law is what we're talking about. What you got?
Women pastors.
All right. Are you a pastor?
I am not.
Okay. All right. So what do you got to say then? That's okay.
Okay. This has been a debate ongoing for since 80. I had this conversation with my minister and many male ministers. I personally feel some say that the old law is no longer.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, you can't really say that the old law is no longer. When Christ came, he changed something, not everything.
Okay.
And I have not seen in the Bible anywhere, and I read it diligently. I study it. I talk with ministers on the subject. I have not seen anywhere in the Bible, and I heard the female pastor say she's willing to talk with that gentleman about
okay.
what he had to say.
All right.
But I have not seen anywhere in the New Testament where Christ changed Deuteronomy.
Okay.
Where a woman is not supposed to pastor in the church.
Okay. A male priest.
Now, if you, Reverend Carmouche, mm-hmm. know something more than I do or any of the ministers I've asked and discussed this with many a time, uh-huh. I would be more than happy to be enlightened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been hearing a lot, you know, and again, you know, right now as we see where's the one, and we got to distinguish of what we're saying, you know, of course, whether it's a pastor or women ministering, you know. A lot of people get confused about that. And so, you know, the one is in authority. The other is following what God said for us to do for all people, you know. And that's what we're looking at. Because when you put things in authority, this is where God places certain things in authority. He is the head. We know that, right? Jesus is the head of all authority, okay?
Amen.
Then there's somebody that has to be right below him, all right, you know, for his church and who is in authority. And we have to look at that and what is he saying, you know, is it male, is it female, what is the Bible saying? And, you know, we look at the scriptures and how we see how, again, we've been talking about the woman being a... Go ahead.
You know, in the book of Joel 2:28, the Bible says, in the last days... I will pour my spirit upon the men. No, upon that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh.
Right, I agree, and that, and
the old men shall see. There's a dream, and young men shall see vision. So when God pours His spirit, everybody right. has to operate in His spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't have time.
Right.
To judge nobody, mm-hmm. except for me. I judge. Right.
You. And I understand, but you know, again, we gotta look at when we set up a church. You know, like. Like Timothy, you know, Paul set up Timothy to be the first pastor of that church. You know, we got to see what God is saying because, that you know, we have churches all over the world. We got churches of Jesus Christ here and his church, okay? And we're talking about the overall church of God, all right? We're looking at how God has to place people in authority. That's why he had Paul. That's why he had Timothy. That's why he had the disciples. And so we're trying to find out, you know, by the word of God, who is God placing in authority, okay? There has to be somebody over that to guide that church, okay? And it can't be just anybody. It's got to be somebody that God is saying, and we see in Timothy how he talks about the bishop and the elder. We see how he says that. And we see the male figure there, okay? And then we see how about God, how he says that the woman should, you know, not talk in the church or observe to teaching of any sort, you know. And we see that as well. So we're looking at authority here, you know, of guiding the church. And the question is, you know, is the law really setting it down that the male figure should be the one in authority as pastor of a church and not the female? What do we got to say some more on that? You know, I mean, these are the things we're looking at. Tony, how are you going to?
I put it like this.
See, the same as God put a man over, he created man first.
That's right. And we go back to the Bible.
Man in authority.
Right.
So when these words were written in the church and it were males, again, a man is in authority.
Uh-huh.
So I have not seen again.
Right,
and I have not read, and I have prayed and prayed and asked God to show me differently, and he has not.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, yeah, I want to ask you something real quick, Bean. Are you married?
I was.
Okay, you was. Okay. Well, I'm going to see if we can get somebody that's married right now, or maybe we can go back to your marriage and how, you know, the woman, we always say, well, you know, the man is the boss, but really, you know, the woman is really wearing the pants or whatever, however, vice versa, you know, she takes care of her, she gets the last say so. But, you know, the woman really looks unto the man as a head, you know, they're always looking for that security. They're always looking for his wisdom, you know, and therefore, you know, that's what we're looking at, authority. Look like we got another column. All right, well, we thank you so much. We're going to try to explain it to you as much as we can or support it.
Well, to answer your question real quickly, I know you have another caller.
Okay.
When I was married for 13 years, I did look for my husband to be the head.
Right, okay. And you felt more secure, right?
I did.
You're right. Even though a lot of times the man leans on the woman, you know, for support, you know.
Well, that's this generational thing with all of these iniquities and strongholds that they've fallen prey to because of the sinful nature of man.
Okay. All right.
But that is not how God created us.
Okay, good.
He created man and woman.
Right. Okay.
And the woman is to fall under the authority of man. We're supposed to rule together because the Bible also said that. But the man is head because he was created in God's image. Now, that's not to say that I'm against women pastors.
Right.
I am not. I'm a female myself.
Right.
However, I stand on God's word, and God put a man as head in authority.
Okay. All right. Okay, there you hear it, folks. From a woman, man. All right, we got another caller on. All right, what's your first name? Where are you calling from? We hearing from a woman. You know, she said, hey, the man is authority. Who we got?
God bless you. This is Prophet Danny Prenell, Jr.
Okay. What we
Pastor
got?
Pastor of Healing and Deliverance Ministries. I was calling to make a comment on the women and also on the Sabbath day.
All right.
Paul gave us instructions. In the book of 1 Timothy, he said, I suffer not a woman to teach. Now, that's one part of that scripture. Then there's a comma. He says, nor to usurp authority over the man. Any man that says he's called of God must obey what's written.
Right.
I don't care if it's my wife, your wife, whoever's wife, I got to believe what's written.
That's correct.
1 Corinthians 14 and 34, and I know I don't have much time, deals with let your women keep silent. In the church, as far as not permitted unto them to speak. Right. If they have a question, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, we know he's not talking about singing because we have Bible where women sung.
Right, right.
Even in the Old Testament, God told Deborah, arise, utter a song. Barak was the one that led God's people.
Right.
There's no room for a woman prophetess in the New Testament church. The scripture don't call her a prophetess. Stephen had seven daughters, and all of them prophesied. Mm-hmm. But where prophesy as minister for Sheena, allure to means to foretell of an event that is to come. That is not preaching. Mm-hmm. If I tell you that it's going to be a hurricane tomorrow, that's not preaching. Preaching is when I take the written word of God and expound on the word of God. If I'm going to say that I'm called of God, I must believe what's written.
Mm-hmm.
It's not against women, even concerning the Sabbath day. I heard somebody saying about that we got to keep the Sabbath. That's not true. Paul instructs us again, said, let no man judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or the Sabbath days or the new moon. So the Sabbath day has been done away with. If we offend in one, the scripture said we offend in all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way we can keep all of the laws.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I want to go on record for saying 3407 Willow Glen River Road, God has never and will never call a woman to preach and worship God every day.
Man.
The man is the head of the woman, according to the scriptures.
So
that don't mean he got to abuse his authority.
Right, right.
That don't mean that he. That don't mean he had to rule his house with an iron fist. But God still made him the head.
So.
And any true man does not want a woman that's going to rule him. That's
right.
A Jezebel spirit.
Wow. Man, you know, you're saying a whole lot here, and one of the things that I'm listening here, you know, for all those women out there, you know, you're saying that they, if they're a pastor, then they're out of the will of God, man. Whoo, that's, man,
yeah,
and if you're out of the will of God, you're going the wrong way, and you're bringing people the wrong way, okay?
What I'm saying is I got to believe what's written.
Right, I agree, you know, I agree.
If any man speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. You can't show me one woman preaching the New Testament. I'll eat the whole Bible.
Right.
I defy any man that say God has called a woman to preach. That's
uh-huh.
foolishness. That's against that's
there you go.
Creation. Adam was made first, then Eve.
Man.
Woman has always been the weaker vessel.
Right. And
that's
I think
just the scriptures, brother.
I think the word, you know, the woman should love that. You know, I mean, you people, you know, women. You know, after seeing and you know, living this long and knowing the women, you know, that I've counseled, you know, I've counseled many, many, many women, the marriages and so forth. And we see that the woman, all she wants is to be loved and cared and protected, you know, by the head, you know, by the head of the
that's
household,
right,
you know,
right.
And say,
see,
man,
God,
I love you.
God made it for the woman to be the weaker vessel, but. She, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth
right.
favor of the Lord.
Right.
So she is her husband's favor.
Right.
Without him, he don't really have favor.
You're
so
right.
The woman is favor to the man, but that don't make her a preacher.
Right.
The Bible instructs women to teach. She said, let the aged women teach the younger women, but that don't make them preachers. He didn't say preach
right.
to the church. He said teach the younger women. Mm. What are they supposed to teach them? How to love their husbands, how to be discreet, how to raise their children.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells the women are bad children. Now you see women out here in the workforce that are married trying to be the head of a home. That's against scripture. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to ask you something, you know. I'm going to ask you this question. You don't have to answer it, but what I'm seeing here about women and the younger generation have already set themselves up for failure. And I'm going to ask you that question. Do you think that they're setting themselves up for failure when they're going out to get a career and become independent in case their marriage doesn't work? Do you think
I'll say this. The Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
If we are going to be men and women of God, marriage is sacred. Marriage was made for one woman, one man. I don't believe in divorce. I believe he that
right.
put away his wife and married another committed adultery. So I believe that if you have a true husband, a true man of God, you know, you don't have to worry about getting a job or getting this and that in case he leaves you, because that's
right.
nothing but a trick of the enemy.
Right, and that's what you know, the generations, you see that, you know, leaning all towards that area as we, and you know, I'm not against women's liberation here, you know. Right, I'm not against liberation, against women's liberation or of that sort of, you know. I believe that,
right, right.
that you know.
I believe, brother, I'm telling you, even me, I believe that a woman, I voted for Hillary Clinton, and I know that kind of sounds backwards, but I believe a woman can be in position of power because we see queens in the Bible, but that don't make her a preacher. God bless
all
you.
All right, God bless you. All right, we got another caller real quick. I think we can handle that one, right, Smiley? You're going to give me that? All right. I do. What's your first name? Where you calling from? You got to do it kind of quick, though.
I know. This is Cheryl again from Mississippi. I want to expound on what the gentleman just said about women and their careers.
All right.
My brother, I just want to set the record straight.
Uh-huh.
If we had an option not to have a career and sit home like they did back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, now you have to remember there was a lot of oppression and depression going on back then, too. In today's society, there is not possible to have a one-person working household. It's impossible in today's society.
Well,
so you have to take that into account.
You know.
Now, I don't know if any women. I am a career woman. Always have been. I never neglected my family. I never neglected my husband. I got up an hour early before my husband every morning, made sure he had breakfast, made sure my kids had breakfast, I went off to work. We were military. He went off to work. When I got home, before, if I had an extra hour before him, dinner was cooked before I left home. So I never negated my responsibilities.
Are you still married?
Wife.
Are you still married?
But we needed two incomes.
I know. Are you still married?
No, we're divorced because he never met a skirt he didn't like to raise. So,
oh, but. Well, I wonder why. Maybe he wasn't there enough.
With a body loss, he needed strength.
Now, I'm not trying to listen, you know, because you see, that's what happens. You know, that's what's happening, and that's the whole point is what we're looking at. As you know, when that happens, you already kind of set yourself up, and it's like, you know, hey, wait, I'm going to, just in case it doesn't work out, you know, but you've already set yourself up, you know, maybe you were going around too much. You wasn't there enough for him, you know, and.
Not true.
I'm not saying
listen,
that. Maybe he wasn't, you know, I mean.
We're not setting ourselves up. Listen, my mom taught me your husband comes first, which is why I got up an hour earlier than him in the mornings to make sure. Sure, he felt like my king because that's what he was, my king.
Well, okay. you know, I don't know your whole life. You know, I don't know all of you and what took part.
As a man, society and the military put a lot of pressure on the family because he felt as long as those bills were paid and he were home at times when he wanted to be home, everything was fine. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not angry. We're great. We still talk everything because we have kids. And we talked about it. And he explained to me that he never wanted the divorce. I pushed for the divorce. He never wanted the divorce, but he knew that he was never going to change.
So you don't think that you were part of that divorce? You know what I'm saying?
There's two sides to the story here.
You know what
I did ask, was there something I needed to do differently?
He felt,
and you know what? You're right. In a way, I was because he said,
I know you.
You
had to be.
He said you didn't need me. Hold up. He said you didn't need me. How can you say that I didn't need you?
We see now.
We had kids.
But do you see, that's the problem. And that's where the problems come in, you see. And I'm not going to bash a career or anything, is when you start setting yourself and set up, because that's the woman. The woman's place was what? To care for the family, to be there, like you said, to take care of the man, to be there whenever he comes back, you know, as much as possible so he can feel that you needed him, you know.
Reverend Carmouche. Reverend Carmouche,
I've counseled a lot of people there, okay, about this, and usually that's the problem.
The Bible said what God has put together, let no man put us on them.
He was insecure, okay? You cannot cure a man's insecurity. I married him that way.
Well, dealing with a lot of marriages and counseling, I it's hard for me to agree to what you just said. To me, I see the problem. There's a problem on both sides. And a lot of times, because, and that's what's happening, society has already, you know, had.